This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The sanctions on Russia because of its invasion and depredations in Ukraine. And go immediately to a story that is inching along about sanctions. Headline, EU inches towards deal on Russian oil price cap this week. I go to Michael Bernstam, who first introduced me to the significance of the date, December 5th. That is the deadline of the deal. That is when the EU's full embargo on purchases of Russian seaborne oil begins. And the expectation is there will be an oil price cap. You can pay no more than this for nations that are not participating in the full embargo. Michael, a very good evening to you. When last we were at the negotiations, there was a debate somewhere between $62 a barrel and $64 a barrel. But there was hesitation. As I understood, some countries, such as Greece, wanted it much higher because their income depends upon shipping. And some countries wanted it much lower because they wanted to punish Russia. The idea here is to deprive the Kremlin of money to continue the war. And those countries are described by Poland and the Baltic states. Now they're inching towards the next meeting, which is on the day itself, December 5th. Is the holdup still the price, Michael, or are there other complications? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you. Just the price. Everything else has been a consensus about that the insurance companies cannot insure if it is sold above the price cap, and that financial institutions cannot make transactions, trade credit receivables, any payments if it is above the price cap. So now it is about the price. And the Baltic states and Poland, their objective is purely political because they are not buying Russian oil, and they're not dependent on any kind of transportation fees. And so they want $30 per barrel, which is, of course, much lower, and Russia will lose a lot of money. And the entire idea is that they should not be able to finance their budget and their military expenditures. Whereas the seafaring nations, traditional seafaring nations, primarily Greece, Cyprus, and Malta, they want $65 to $70 per barrel because they depend on shipping and they're afraid that if the Mediterranean transportation of Russian oil by tankers will reduce, they will lose money. So there are two conflicting objectives, political on the part of Poland and the Baltic states, and economic, pure commercial on the part of Greece and other states which provide shipping. How they will resolve it? Because it's not really about the price. It is about the objectives, political or commercial.
The oil in question is seaborne oil, the seaborne oil of the Baltics and the seaborne oil of the Black Sea. Has the Black Sea been closed to Russian shipping?
Apparently, the Black Sea will be closed tomorrow, December the 1st, when Turkey ordered that no Russian oil tanker and no third country oil tanker can cross the straits unless they have the blue card insurance, which is a consortium of Western insurance companies. So if they have insurance from the third world countries or from Russia, they cannot cross the straits. And it is a legitimate concern on the part of Turkey because they're afraid that oil leaked will produce a lot of pollution. So it's not just political. They are really concerned about the quality of their straits. So the Black Sea straits are effectively will be closed. And today, by the way, China said that they will not accept any insurance provided by Russia. They want only international quality insurance for these oil shipments. So altogether, it's a problem for Russia.
So Russia now has a limited number of customers, although it is the rest of the world. For example, Africa, South America, I don't believe they're participating in sanctions, but they do need insurance. And Russia has no way of providing insurance unless it's homemade. Is that correct? And homemade insurance is not reliable, is not trustworthy. Will you be sanctioned if you take homemade Russian insurance?
The irony is that it may be reliable because the Russian state, the Russian budget, the Russian government will provide any kind of bailouts to insurance companies. But it is not trustworthy and it is under sanctions. And so this is that no one wants to fall under the secondary sanctions. That's why India is hesitating. That's why China is sort of triangulating or hesitating. And of course, these are the two major markets, China and India. The rest are very small customers. So of all together, if the price cap the European Union will reach the agreement eventually, then much of the Russian oil will be, the seaborne oil, like you said, will be off the market. There will be no sufficient customers to substitute for the loss of the greatest Russian market. Remember that the European Union has been over 60% of the Russian oil market, including pipelines and seaborne oil. Now, pipelines will be closed, except for Slovakia, Czechia, and Hungary, under 1 million barrels a day. And the seaborne oil will be under the sanctions.
You mentioned India, a story that requires understanding. Russia asks India to send supplies as sanctions derail Moscow's economy. Amid the ongoing sanctions goes the story, choking its economy, Russia has asked India for products to keep its key industries operational. This according to Reuters. They need parts. Is that it, Michael? They want parts from India for their aircraft, for their automobiles, for their factories.
They need what they call critical or necessary imports. Some of them are technology and spare parts, and another is critical consumer imports. First and foremost, medicines. They lack now, they don't have some quality pharmacological industry like we do and Western countries do, and even Mexico does, and India does. And that's what they want because they are in a healthcare crisis. And of course, the spare parts. And the problem is that India is afraid of the secondary sanctions because many of the components of their manufacturing production consist of American and Japanese and British and other European parts.
However, if the washing machine is entirely manufactured in India, can they barter with Moscow? Is that agreed?
Yeah, sure. They want to barter. If it is totally 100% produced in India, yes. This is not under sanctions. The sanctions don't apply to the third world manufacturing. But in the global economy, it's the effect of globalization. There are no pure products. Everything is multinational, international. Another thing is that in India, the largest companies are multinational corporations. So they may have headquarters in Dublin, Ireland. So they wouldn't buy.
Now, the sweet story of the day. Krispy Kreme's famed glazed donuts are now being served up in Russia by a local knockoff called Crunchy Dream.
The funny thing is that the fellow who bought this chain, when he applied for the permission, for the permit, for the patent to the Russian government, he put the name Crunchy Dream in Russian alphabet, but he put it in English letters on the signs, so that people know that this is still the quality franchise of the same Western quality.
So, therefore, the Russians are keen on our junk food. They're keen on it. They want it back.
They are keen because they don't trust Russian production, and they are keen on Western quality.
The Starbucks has a new name, but it's Starbucks. The
yes.
McDonald's has a new name, but it's McDonald's. Crunchy Dream is
Crunchy Dream, and since most young people go there and young people know English, they appreciate it as something that they can relate to. It's a seal of quality.
And therefore, I want to look to a brighter day, Michael. Does this point to the fact that the younger people will recover from this horror and that we will be back to having an audience for Starbucks, McDonald's, and Krispy Kreme eventually, soon enough?
The younger people will recover, those who stay in Russia. Unfortunately, lots of educated young people are leaving Russia. So the Russian government made the greatest blunder in history. They want some land, territory, and they are losing human capital, so people run away.
Michael Bernstam of the Hoover Institution. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.